Okay. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom of the page. And we don't have enough. So the next detail in the Mishnah was that Nises, once a woman becomes the, you know, man and woman have Nisuin, so then yes, I love Habal, Shu Ochas Peris Ochal Peris Bechaya, Bechaya Vincenosa, Birkona, Bikrasa, etc. So now that the husband, once they get married, and you Nisuin, so now the husband can eat the Peris that she brings into the marriage, and he now has to take care of her, you know, of her mazonos, and he has to redeem her, and he has to bury her, etc., things that he now is responsible for once Nisuin takes place. So says the Gemara as follows. Tan Rabbanim. Because of la peros ksus v'kiglim shiavo imam mibeis avi ala beis baila. So what happens if the father writes a shtar, and he gives her all types of things to bring with her into the marriage. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, right, in her nidunya, whenever, you know, a dowry, money she brings into the marriage, she gives her shetachnis labayla that she'll give to her husband, metatlin, right, some type of objects, you know, things of value. Kigon, peros, tulshin, like, you know, picked fruits, uksus, clothing, vakilim, right, other types of, you know, utensils, right, basically not karka, right, gives her metatlin. He gives her, you know, movable, valuable objects to bring into the marriage. V'kasvan la mina erisin. And he writes this to her once she's already had erisin, and he gives her these items to bring into the marriage. And then what happens? Says Rash, says Gemara, Mesa. And then she dies. And Rash, she says, Mesa be erisin. Right? So she dies after erisin, not after nisuin. So he gives her these things to bring in, to bring to the marriage. And then they do erisin, and then she dies. Rashi says Kasson la mina erisin. Maybe he gives it to her after erisin, or I don't know. He gives it to her before erisin. But the bottom line is that what they then do erisin, and then she dies before nisuin takes place. So you see machlokas here in this brisa. So what happens in that case? So umesa lo zacha ba b'devarim halalu. Right. So the husband doesn't get to keep these items that she brought into the marriage if she died before nisuin takes place. And you see what the Gemara is asking, bringing this up, because we just talked about what happens once they do nisuin. So this is kind of where in between. They did erisin, she brought these things into the marriage, and then she dies before nisuin. So the Tanakhama says that she does not, that the husband does not keep these items. Rabbi Nassan Amru, Zacha Abab Divayim Halalu. But Rabbi Nassan says no, that as long as she brought them into the marriage, and then they did erisin, so then he gets to keep these items that she brought. So lame of a plukta the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah of Rabbanan Kabifiki. So maybe, says the Gemara, maybe this machlokas is really the machlokas between, it depends on the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Rabbanan. What are we talking about? Disnan, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, this armala onis garsha, bein min nisuin, bein min erisin, gova es hakol. So because the Tanakhama holds in the Mishnah later on in the Dalam Beis, that let's say a couple gets married, and then what happens? And then she dies, or they get let's say he dies, or they get divorced. So what happens? So whether they had done nisuin or they had done erisin, so she gets the entire ksuba, right? So even if they only had erisin, and then the husband dies, but he'd already written her ksuba, so Tanakhama holds that she gets the entire value of the ksuba. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, meaning nisuin go be sakol. Yeah, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, yeah, if they already had nisuin, so that's takachu, she gets the entire value of the ksuba. Umina erisin, vesula go be masayin va mana mana. But if it's from the erisin, so then the besula gets masayim, and the amana gets 100. And why is that? Shalo kasavla ella amanas lekonsa. Because when he writes these things in the ksuba, he only gets some of the ksuba. Why? Because he wrote the ksuba with an intention that he's going to have to do nisuin. So yeah, the ksuba is written before nisuin takes place, but he only really intended it to come into effect once they actually have nisuin. And so this seems to be the machlokas, right? Meaning, look at Rashi, right? Go back to Rashi, Mimzana Malef. Rashi says, "Beplugda v'chul elim beplugda demanda amra baila yoresh nidunyasa mina erisin." Right? The opinion that's going to hold that the husband is yoresh from his wife, right? The nidunya that she brought in, even if they only had erisin, kirabanan. That's like the rabbanan. Why? The amra im mace who go ve'es hakol. Right, manamasayim tosefis, because it's the same opinion that holds, which the rabbanan holds, that if he dies, right? I mean, the question here is, what happens when she dies? So it presumably relate to the same machlokas. What happens if he dies after erusin? Right. So the opinion that holds, the rabbanan would say that if he dies just after erusin, she collects everything. Right. Amaksubasa kaimak ilu nises. Right. So you see that the ksuba exists as if they had already had nisuin, because they made this agreement, which was, it was an expectation of nisuin, but the agreement was made before nisuin, and therefore she collects everything, right? So therefore, imesa ihi. So what if she dies? So imesa ihi nami yaris. So that's imesa ihi nami yaris ihu. Then he should also collect nidunya, the same dowry. Sha'af hi v'sochashtar nichtava da'ach kasvinan da nidunya da'an ala salami ve'avua. So written, the truth is, we write in the star the things that she's bringing to the marriage also, right? And then he talks about he's going to add in. But the bottom line is, presumably, the Gemara assumes at this point, whatever you hold about what happens with what she collects, if he dies before Nisuin, should be the same process when he dies before Nisuin. So that's the assumption that the Gemara makes. Fine. So it's, and if you go back now to Mem Zayin Mem Beis, the Gemara actually plays it out. Lamanda Amar Lo Zacha Kareb Lozben Azariah. Right, the opinion that holds that he doesn't get the nidunya, that's like Elizabeth Nazaria, who said there's some type of restrictions on what happens if they haven't yet done nisuin. Uman da amar zacha kirabanan, and the opinion that holds that he gets everything that she brings in, as long as they've had erisin, even though they haven't had nisuin yet, that's like the rabbanan, who say that if he dies, she gets everything from the ksuba, even though they haven't yet had nisuin. Fine. So that's what the Gemara assumes at first. But now the Gemara says, not so fast. Lo, not necessarily. Maybe you could hold the Kuli Amma Kareb Lozben Azariah. Really, everybody agrees. Everyone in this Machlokas agrees that when it comes to the man, the husband, passing away, Kareb Lozben Azariah is correct. And that happens, Rashi points out, that's actually how we paskin, halacha l'maisa, like Kareb Lozben Azariah. So it's actually convenient. The Gemara really wants everyone to be holding Kareb Lozben Azariah. It's going to go better that way. So, really, everybody holds Rabbi Elizabeth Nazariah, and that if he would die before Nisuin, she only collects a certain amount, but she doesn't get everything, the Tosefes, all the things that are added in. Okay, so then what's going on here? So Manda Amar Lo Zacha, the one who holds that the husband doesn't collect the entire Nidunya, that's Rabbi Elizabeth Nazariah, right? That's clearly Rabbi Elizabeth Nazariah, who holds that if he would die early, he would die before Nisuin, she wouldn't collect either. Fine. But what about the other side? Uman damar zacha. What about the opinion who holds that this taka would be able to, that he collects everything from his wife, even if she dies before nisuin? How does that work? So ad kan lok amr lezman azariah elami didele dida. That's because what was restricted, right? When we talk about the restriction here, lezman azariah says that if the husband dies, the woman doesn't get the full ksuba. So that's only when he dies, in terms of what he is supposed to give to her. Why? Because when he writes the ksuba, the assumption of the ksuba is they're getting married all the way, right? The assumption is there's going to be nisuin. And if there isn't nisuin, so then that wasn't really what he intended. But in terms of what she's bringing into the marriage, her dowry, right? What's the reason why the father really gives a nidunya? Why does he give a dowry? It's because he wants to create this relationship between the daughter and the husband, right? It's almost like because of the shidduch, right? Because we're now having a relationship. And they had that. How'd they have that? By having erusin, right? So like, it's not so specific. The ksuba, the assumption is that the ksuba is like very much dependent on the actual nisuin taking place, as opposed to the dowry, which is sort of like the initial gift that's given because there is a shidduch here. And it's not necessarily dependent as much on the nisuin. So if you don't like that, then you hold the other opinion, which is okay. But that's the machlokes. The point is that it's not necessarily machlokes for the machlokes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Rabbanan. It could be even according to all everyone's holding Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about what the husband gets. Nevertheless, could still be and that's restricted. What the wife gets, and that could be restricted if he dies before Nisu. And here we could argue that even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there could be an opinion that holds that he would still get everything, even if she dies before Nisu. Okay.
Is that a legal thing though, or is it just the intention thing?
It becomes a legal thing based on what we believe the intention is. Meaning it's the question, right? The question always becomes, and everything is not explicitly stated, right? So you have to ask yourself, so then what do people typically mean when they register like that? When they make an agreement like that, what's the assumed intention? Right? If they tell us their intention, then we're good. Right. If they don't tell us their intention, so that's when these questions come up. What does someone mean when they get married? What do they expect? You know, so the point being, at least according to this other opinion, is that the father expects to give over that money. It's like, oh, well, they didn't actually have any suing. It doesn't matter. He gives it now, right? As opposed to the argument of, no, what do you mean? He's only going to give that money over if the marriage actually goes through, right? So how do you understand what the mindset of the father is typically in such a case? Okay. Next. So also, one of the things that the husband is chayev for, he's chayev misonozeh, he's chayev to take care of the financial needs of his wife. Okay. So, Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara as follows, quoting a brisa later on, also in the Chasam Beis. Tiknu misonozeh tachas maisa yadeh. Okay, Chazal made a takana that he has to provide for the financial needs of his wife, because, like, in place of the financial earnings that she makes. Okay, so we'll see what this means. Ukvurasa tachas subasa. And he has to bury her. He has to take care of her needs, you know, for in a scenario where she would pass away, because of the ksuba, right? And so when we say ksuba, we don't mean ksuba. Let's see what Rashi explains. Ksubasa means tachas hanadunya sheikh nisalo. Right, v'hiksuva b'shtar, it's written down on a piece of paper. Haksuva v'hu yoresh. Right, but it doesn't mean the ksuva. Ksuva is what he gives also. So it means that. So meaning he pays mizonos because she's going to give him what she or her earnings, and he has to take care of burying her because she brings in an adunya, some type of dowry, into the marriage. Okay, lefikach bal oche peros. And that's why, therefore, the husband can eat peros. And the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Peros mandekashmei? Who's talking about peros? No one talks about peros, right? Peros usually means the things, right, the value that's cut continuing to come from whatever property she brings into the marriage. We didn't talk about her property. So what's going on here? So it says, Gemara, chasuri michsra v'hachlitane. And this is what the Bresa, the Bresa was missing a certain phrase. So what's happening? V'hachlitane. Okay, that's really, this is what it really said. Tiknu mizanoseha tachas ma'aseyadeha. So he made a takana that he has to provide for her financially, and she, like, in return, in a certain sense, gives him her earnings. Upirkona tachas peros. And he has to redeem her. We've mentioned this before. He has to redeem her from captivity in place, and he, in return, gets the peros from whatever property she brings into the marriage. Ukvurasa tachas ksubasa. And he has to bury her because she provides a dowry. Lefigach balo chiveros. Right? And that's how we know that the Baal is allowed to eat the peros, right? Bechayeha, that's what the Mishnah said, that he eats the peros while she's still alive. He's able to continue to take from that which she brings into the marriage because, again, she hands them over to him when they get married. Okay? So it says the Gemara, Ma lefichach. But still, what's the lefichach? And that's why, therefore, he's able to eat the peros. So Ma the same, and what might, the answer is because you might have thought the following. Mecha lo nichlinu, anuche nanchinu, so what might I think? Apparently people, I don't mean this as a joke, but there was at least a possibility that people were going to get kidnapped. And this is like something that was like a real concern, you can tell, that they were worried about, right? Because we keep on seeing this question come up, right? So, but again, what's the havamina? The havamina was maybe he shouldn't eat the peros at all. She brought this stuff into the marriage. Maybe he shouldn't touch it, right? He should put it aside. Why? Because this, because if not, then when it comes time for her to if she gets, you know, Khalilah will get kidnapped, so maybe he's gonna hold back and he's gonna be unwilling to actually, you know, redeem her. Why? Because he already made use of the stuff that she brought in, right? He already spent the money, right? So if he spent it already, so then when it comes time to redeem her, he's like, "Well, what do you mean? Then I don't have to." The whole point is that he gets access to the payers because he would have to redeem her. But if the money's not there, so we know how it goes. If you spent the money, it's like, "Oh, well, okay, sorry, I spent the money already. Now I don't have to redeem her." So kamash walan, you know. So you know. So comes this price to teach me daha difa. This is it's better that he actually use it. Use the pears. Why? Zinnin de lamalu, because what might happen? It could be that she doesn't have that whatever pears she brings into the marriage are not really enough. So they're requiring, I don't know, $50,000, and what she brought into the marriage is only $30,000. So maybe she, you know, he puts it aside and it's still not enough. Right? Right? And now he's gonna and now he's gonna have to redeem her from his own money. So the point being, if we have him leave the money aside, so what's going to happen? He's going to say, "Well, it's still not enough. I don't know." But if he, you know, just like kind of like swallow it all in, just start using it like it's your own money. It's not two separate bank accounts. It's part of your own stuff, and you'll spend. And the understanding is that whatever it is that it would cost to redeem her, you have to redeem her. Obviously, most normal people would do that. But the point being, we're talking for the people who are not and be making this cheshbon. But the point being that meaning that's what you should do. Therefore, start using them right away. We want you to use them right away. Because if you don't use them right away, then you're going to be cheshbening and thinking and considering. If you just combine it all, you're not thinking about it as separate entities. And now I'm going to save it for when she needs to be redeemed. And then it still won't be enough, etc. Just use it. So that's why the Bryce says, lefichach, therefore, about Baal Ochel Peiros, not just he's allowed to eat Peiros, but he should eat Peiros. It's better. We prefer that. Okay. So ask the Gemara though, the Eipach Anam, but maybe I should flip the order of all these examples. Look at Rashi. The Eipach Anam, Mizonos Tachas Peiros, Upirkona Tachas Maaseyadeh. I mean, we should say the language, differently, right? Because what do we say? We said, Tiknu Mizonosea Tachas Maaseyadeh. So, and really, we should say tikne mizonos tachas peros, right? Meaning the examples are not balancing each other correctly, right? So the mizonos should be, you know, I'll take care of your financial needs, and you give me the financial that you bring into the marriage, right? Or mizonos tachas peros, or pirkona tachas maaseyadeh, right? And I'll redeem her with her money because of what the money that she brings in, right? So why don't we say that? And Rashi writes, "V'nafkamina di'i amra eini nizonis ve'eini osa lo klum kamra." And if that was true, then meaning we have a concept, we've seen this before, that a woman can say, "You know what? Don't provide me with anything, and I'm not going to give you my earnings." Right? She made that declaration. We've seen that before. But if that's the typical arrangement, right? If that's how we understand the arrangement, then fine. Eini nizonis ve'eini osa is a real thing. Because right, the mizonos come tachas maaseyadeh, but if that's not how we actually understand it, then when she says it, then it's meaningless. That wasn't the original deal. So the point being, whatever, you know, however we line this up makes a difference in terms of that question. So answer the Gemara Amar Abaye, no tiknu matzoy lematzoy v'she'enu matzoy le'enu matzoy. No, I'll tell you why we line them up this way, because we line things up based on what's common and based on what's not common. Right, so things that are common. Everything that's common, everything that's less common, everything that's less common. Like Rashi, mizonos u'maaseyadeh mitzuyin. Right, mizonos, the fact that he, you know, makes money and has to, you know, take care of her financials, that's normal, right? That's typical. Maaseyadeh mitzuyin, and maaseyadeh is a normal thing. So mizonos tachas maaseyadeh, that makes sense, right? Shivuya v'isha shiyesh l'nechse miluk lo shechichei. Right, a woman being captured and having to be redeemed, that's not so common, right? And at the same time, a woman bringing in nechse miluk, which is her, again, her property that he's going to be eating the pears from. But that's, again, that's both of those things a little less common. Less common that she would be captured, hopefully, and less common that women brought in. Again, nidunya is something else. Nidunya is that the father gives a gift. The nichsim miluk are like this, like, you know, property that, you know, karka that she would bring with her into the marriage. Again, that's much less likely that this woman getting married is bringing property with her. So that's why we match them up. We match them up because you match the like with like, the common thing with the common thing, that, you know, the less common with the less common. Okay. Amar Rava, Hai Tana Savar Mizonos Midaraisa. So Rava says this Tana believes that the idea of mizonos, having to take care of your wife's financially, so that is midaraisa, this sign, because the Braisa says she'era, right? He says that she'era, she'era k'susav onasod lo yigra, right? He has to give she'era k'susav onam. We're going to talk about now kind of different definitions of what these things are. But the Barava says this Tana holds mizonos in midaraisa. The sign is she'era elu mizonos. That she'era refers to, again, financial needs. V'chein hu omer, v'asher achlu she'er ami. Right? Because the pasuk says, in the pasuk of Micha, that they ate, right, the she'er. So the she'er clearly is mizonos. K'susa k'mashma'o. And k'susa means clothing. That's obviously means clothing. Right? And onasa, zu onam ur batara. Right? And onasa means, right, the physical relationship. And that's what the Torah usually refers to. V'cheinu omer im ta'ne es benosai. Right, that's the language used, right, that person would be ma'ane somebody, use inoy on a daughter, so that means physical, there it's a physical rape, but there it means holding back physical relationship from the daughters. So the point being, share ksus for ona, share is mizonos, ksus is clothing, and ona is the physical relationship. Rabbi Lazar, in which case, the point being that you see that's how you see that each one of these things is certainly the mizonos is daraisa, and the others have you find their explanation in the Torah itself. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Lazar says no. She'era zu ona, she'er refers to ona. V'cheinu Omer ish al kol she'er b'saro lo sigru la galos erva. Right, so the language of she'er, right, can refer to a person's wife. So you see that she'er bisaro, right, can actually relate to gilu erva, can relate to physical relationship. Ksusa k'mashma'o, ksus means clothing, so that's what we usually know it means. And osa and onasa elu mazonos. And now he says no, that the language of ona actually refers to the mazonos, the financial needs. V'cheinu omer v'ye'ancha v'yarivecha. This week's parsha Igif. That you paint him. By what? You pain them by starving them. All right, so you see that the language of Inoy can relate to food. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, She'ra k'susa, lefum she'ra ten k'susa. Shelo yitain la, lo shal yalda lezakina, v'lo shal zakina leyalda. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, She'ra, right, why say She'ra k'susa? That according to the She'ra, according to the type of person they are, give them that type of clothing. That you shouldn't give a child, old person's clothing, and an old person, young person's clothing. Okay, k'susa v'onasa, lefum onasa ten k'susa. Right, according to the time, you should give her the proper clothing. Shelo yitain chadashim b'yemos hachama v'lo shchakim b'yemos hakshamim. Again, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is playing on it. Share k'sus v'ona, playing them together. That teaches me, you know, how I know which type of clothing should be given, which I guess is one more drasha because everyone else was saying ksus is ksumash ma'o. So now he explains by ksus the different type of clothing depends on, again, the language of she'er and ona. But nevertheless, these are just, again, different drashas to explain that she'er, ksus, ona are the things that our husband required me to raise it to give to his wife. Okay, so I'll stop here and we'll pick up. Thank you.